Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany. This week we're solo again, and you know these are our favorite episodes, and we get to answer all your questions and just catch up with each other. So Aileen, what's new with you?
Not much. Me N2M, JCU. You know, it's always just like something's new. You know, yesterday, like at work, I went to the U Up show, and I went to the office during the day, and then randomly Mila's like, oh, she's a little... just randomly fell asleep with her nanny like at 4. Her head is warm. I'm like, fuck.
Oh no.
Are you sick? Like, do I have to go home? Oh my God. My mind was just like swirling.
You were spiraling.
But then spiraling. That's the word. I wasn't swirling. I was spiraling. I was swirling downwards. So that's spiraling. But then I FaceTimed with her, and she seemed like she was in good spirits when she woke up. She just seems like, I think she's teething, like her gums like are gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's kind of the issue, and she's just a little cranky, but she's so fucking sweet. Oh. When she's not feeling well, she'll like rest her butt. Like when she's having her bottle, she'll rest her body on you. That's and it's so like a cute little baby monkey. Like she's like a little baby animal. It's just like those moments while you feel really bad, they're not feeling well, you just want to hold on to them for so long. You're like, you'll never get this back.
I know, when they do the whole like the head on the shoulders, and you're just like,
oh my heart. God. Your whole heart just like explodes.
Yeah,
it's like, oh my God, what is this feeling? I don't understand it.
Right.
But then at the same time, you're like, oh, you don't feel well, your little body. But she's okay. It's just teething. Her like teeth are just busting through.
Yeah.
And they're like uneven. It's really funny.
That's so cute. Just how many teeth does she have now?
4. Aww. Like 2 in the top, 2 in the bottom. But I think there's like,
oh my God,
the ones on the sides are getting all white, like the gum area.
Ugh. Uh-huh. Do you tend to like, will you like give her Tylenol for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not like only, I usually don't like give her unless she can't sleep, like it's really intense.
Yeah.
Or if she's like really crying, but she also had a warm forehead. So I also didn't want her to break into like an intense fever. So, and like sleeping is important for a child. So I just wanted to I gave her a little Motrin just now, or like this morning when she woke up, because she wasn't feeling so great. Oh, poor baby. But she's better.
I get like crazy if they feel warm, and I like literally take their temperature every 10 minutes for like 3 days straight. Are you like that, or you're just like?
I did do that, but it was so difficult. So I don't have the patience to do it every 10 minutes. So great job with patience. But it didn't say fever, but I was like, is this thermometer bad? Like, I don't fucking know. It's one of those head ones, you know?
Oh, okay. I personally threw my head one out because Oliver once had a fever, and I had the head one, and we went to my sister's house. I was like, can I borrow your ear thermometer? Like, something's not right. And he had like 102.
And your head one said no fever?
And my head one said no fever. I think the head ones are like shit.
Shit.
I go get yourself the Braun ear thermometer.
How do you get it in their ear for long enough?
What do you mean? It's a little button. It's a button.
And it's like a second.
Yeah, it takes like, it's literally a second.
Braun ear thermometer. Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when she had COVID, I used the head thing and I know she was way hotter than what the thing said. But then again, I didn't know. I was just like, okay, this is what it's telling me. But
right.
But it broke in a day. So anyway, but that's what we're going with.
Okay. And I hope she feels better soon.
Thank you. How's life with you? What's up?
Oh my God, so much. We went on a kid-free weekend getaway to Montauk with a couple of friends. It was really fun. We usually do this once a summer with the same group of people. And I just felt so guilty leaving this time. And partially because, like, I don't know, like, Jack was so cranky. They were, like, on and off with their coughs. Like, they've both been, like, on and off sick all summer. And once we were there, we were fine. I was fine. But I felt really, really – I, like, had put Jack down for his nap, and then I left, and I was so upset. But they were in good hands, and I was able to, like – I have, like, Nest cameras in my house I was able to watch and, like, which makes me feel better. And I felt – and then, like, the guilt set back in when I got home because the second I walked in, I look at Jack. I'm like, he does not feel well. And I picked him up, and he was so warm. And I went to take his temperature in his ear, and he freaked out. I was like, oh, my God, he has an ear infection.
Oh, no.
And it was a Sunday. I couldn't take him to the doctor, so I just gave him Motrin because I'm sure he was in so much pain. And I was like, oh, like, I went away, and now he's sick. But I took him, like, first thing Monday morning, and it was an ear infection. He got antibiotics, and antibiotics are amazing. Yay, medicine, because he's finally so much better. But yeah, I felt like so, so guilty leaving them. And then Noah kept saying to me, like, listen, like, we need to do these things to, like, recharge our battery. And it's, yeah. We're like, think of it as, like, we're doing something for the kids. And I took a poll, and I feel like it was, like, very 50-50 of, like, people feeling guilty and not feeling guilty leaving their kids. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I feel like there have been times where, like, I didn't feel, like, as guilty. But, like, I just did this particular time. I really did.
Is it what was the guilt was just to you were they were not with you, or was the guilt like leaving them with not a parent?
Leaving them with not a parent.
Yeah. I also went away but Rusty was home. Okay. So I went away like last weekend with my girlfriends, and I didn't really feel much guilt because I knew Rusty was there, and so right. Like she wasn't gonna miss me too much, you know?
Right. Like she had that comfort of her dad.
She still had that bond, yeah, with her dad, who she cannot stop saying his name.
She said, what does she say?
Go, oh, I'm like, Mila, who am I? Say mama. She goes, Dada. I'm like, oh, okay.
Maybe loves soon.
Dada.
It's so funny because actually Jack runs around the house going, Daddy, Daddy. And then I'm like, Jack, what's my name? He goes, Bobby. Bobby. I'm Bobby in the house. I'm not Mommy. It's probably because he's just like so congested and he's like trying to say the M's and it comes out as Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, it's really funny. But yeah, so she was fine. But yeah, I get the feeling of like leaving too long if neither of you were with. And then you're like putting yourself in their like shoes for a minute. If I were them, I'd be like, where are my parents? I'm all alone. But really, they're probably not like harping on that.
No. And fun. Like, I know. And like, they were supposed to like go to the beach with my in-laws like for on Saturday, which was like the full day we were away. And I was like, okay, like they'll be great. Like they're going to have a whole beach day with their grandparents. And my in-laws got COVID. So
oh my God,
the plans had to change last minute. So I was like, oh my God, they're just going to be like home all day. And like, this is kind of, I feel like this is like similar to our conversation we had last week about in the mom guild of the girl feeling like guilty for not doing more extracurricular activities mm-hmm. with her baby. Yeah. That's how I felt. Like I felt like my kids were going to be so bored being at home all day. But like mm-hmm. in reality, day. Like who cares? Like they're busy 24/7 every other day.
And it's a weekend. Your weekends are meant for nothing.
Right. Exactly. Like they need to wind down.
Yeah. You know, it's fun. And I like Noah's perspective about like, it's for you so you can be better parents. It's for the kids. And therefore it's for the kids. You know, I'm planning a trip with Rusty to go away in October without her during the week. Like my dad's going to fly up to spend, like, sort of take our place in our house for a week. I had no guilt until right now.
No, you shouldn't have guilt. And I know I shouldn't,
but it's just kind of funny how like nothing has changed. So the guilt is such like a, you're still going to go, right?
Yeah, you're still going
to
go.
I mean, I could not go.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to go and I can like choose not to feel guilty and then enjoy it the same as I was thinking about enjoying it 10 minutes ago before we started.
I'm sorry to
No, it's not your fault because I know it would have come eventually. It was one of those things I'm just like, I'm not like thinking about it. I'm just kind of going through the actions of trying to book it.
Right.
Because I know that I need a vacation. Like I know I need a vacation.
You do. And like from an outside perspective, like you saying this to me, it's so clear to me, like you, like me saying like what Noah was saying to me, you need this for yourself.
Yeah,
you need to recharge. Right. You both need to learn to have time apart from each other. But like when you're in it, like you can't think that way.
Right. I know. It's very hard. And you're just like, you dramatize these emotions that like you think your children are having. And it's like, you don't know if it's true, if it's happening. And they're going to be so excited to see you because at the end of the day, the point is like, you're teaching them that mom and dad always come back and some time apart is good.
Yeah. And then I felt myself like overcompensating, like especially with Oliver, like Jack doesn't know which way is up. But like with Oliver, I felt myself like really overcompensating. And then like it didn't help that I actually did a girls trip the past 2 days and I left him again, but he was with Noah, so it was different. But like this, I like went and like bought him like more toys that he didn't need and came back. I was like, look how much stuff I brought you. I was thinking of you the entire time. So I felt really like, funny. Whatever. But
I have a memory of myself being a kid, really young, staying at my grandma's house, who passed away when I was 10. So I was definitely very little. And my parents, went on a trip to Europe and they left me at my grandma's for that time. I remember being like, why can't I go? But then after that ended, after they left, I was like, oh, okay, time to hang out with grandma. And then like fun times ahead, she gives me like dessert for dinner. Like it's just, and I get to watch like all the Barney I want.
And Barney.
Yeah, it was like so fun. And it was fine. And then they came back and I was like, oh, great. Like, what is France? Or, I don't know where they went. I think it was Paris or something like that.
Oh, that's nice.
It was just, it's funny to remember that.
I know it is. It is interesting. And I think, and I do try to think back, like when I remember my parents leaving, it was the same thing. Like I would stay at my grandparents.
Yeah.
And I had the best time. I loved it.
It's not like you're your kid's friend. Like your kids aren't your friends that they're sad. Like you're being left behind. They're just like, you're their rule keep. You're the person who has all the rules. So
right.
When the person that makes all the rules leaves, you're just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So I guess that's a good way to think about guilt.
It is a good way to think about it.
Oh, she gonna miss me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, as always, my therapy session, you made me feel better. So let's move on to our listener questions. These are always so fun to answer.
It's also fun to like hear what people are like have brewing in their heads.
And it like makes me feel like, oh, we're all thinking the same things here.
Right.
Okay. What should we answer?
Okay. Let's read the first one. How do I balance wearing my mom hat and my friend hat with kids? And this one, actually, we got a few of these that were similar. So the topic is, how do I be a mom, but also a friend to my children? I don't know how to answer this because it doesn't apply. Like what? I think this matters when the kids are a little older.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if like, I feel like I could like relate to it a little bit because Oliver's at the age where I'm communicating with him. And I can't say like, I'm sure it's much different when they're older, when they're teenagers. And would love to get a perspective from somebody on that. But from the instance of just like a four-year-old, I feel like sometimes in my head, I'm like, I want him to like remember me. Like I'll actively think as I'm like doing something. I want him to remember me as like a fun mom and someone that like engaged with him and was like interested in like what he was thinking and what he was doing. And I guess that's like what most parents do. Like you want your kids to feel like that. But then I'm like, but also he needs to know that I have the authority. And right. Like while we're like playing these games together and stuff. So, but like he does, like he's too little to like not know that. But like I do think in my head that like I could see myself when the kids are older being like unsure of that line. Like you want them to feel comfortable talking to you and like not withhold any information from you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point about like the comfortability or like how the kids confiding in you, because originally my thought was the question is based in like, I want my kids to like me, because sometimes, you know, like mom, you know, if you're a rule maker, your kids want to like rebel against you. They're mad that you set those boundaries sometimes, right. You know, they get it later in life. But I thought it was based in like kind of that. And my thought was like, I don't think that you're meant to be liked 100% as a mom. I think that's part of the job. But if you're saying like the confide in you part as a friend, I think that makes sense. But I think maybe you can share stuff with them in a way that's appropriate for their age, right? Or like what, so that they know that like mom's human. Yeah. You can tell us anything, but not in a way that's like, I'm going to tell you everything because that's our relationship because we're best friends.
Right.
Like, I think that can also, that, which I mean, I'm not going to shame or judge, like whatever you fucking want to do is fine. But like, in my opinion, I think like you can be a fun mom doesn't mean that like she's not mom. She's fun, but she's also like sets boundaries and sets the rules and determines what's safe for you.
Yeah.
But also can like have a good time. I don't know. Like, yeah. Was there a time when you like remember resenting your parents for things? Yeah. And that made you not want to confide in them?
I feel like I never didn't want to confide in my parents. I actually feel like, and I always think, and there's a ton of stuff that my parents didn't do right, but like there's a lot they did do right. And I think that they always made me feel comfortable with the fact of that I was a teenager and I was going to do teenage things.
Yeah.
And like once I had my dad pick me up from a party and I was drunk. And I didn't want to be there, whatever. I didn't want to be there anymore, or I needed a ride home, whatever. And he wasn't mad at me at all.
Right.
Like he actually was very understanding and appreciative that I called him, right. And that he knew I was safe. And
yeah,
that was it. Like we had the talk about, you know, obviously being responsible, but like a teenager is going to do what a teenager is going to do. And like, right. I think when it comes down to it, as long as you're setting the rules where they're safe and they understand why certain rules are implemented, yeah. To be safe, then everything else is kind of like, all right.
Right. I think I agree with you that like you feel like they have their best, you feel like your parents have your best interests in mind, even though you might not agree with them.
Right.
Like they're somewhat reasonable.
Right.
Although my mom is like pretty strict and I still felt like I could confide. But at the same time, like, I was really scared when I got like really bad grades. Like, I would try to get away, like, around it. I remember flushing my tests in the toilet.
Really?
Or like forging signatures. Cause I was like really scared, like, if I got a bad grade.
I
was so scared. But I think that at the end of the day, like, your job as a parent is to be the parent. Like,
right.
You know, then like, and then there's always time to be a friend later. But I think you earn the friendship later in life if you are like the parent in early life. I think
that's
that,
really good advice.
Thanks. I just came up with it. Because I feel like you don't earn the friend, you don't get the friendship later if you're like too strict and you doesn't make, or you're too lenient.
Right.
But you know, there's so many books about like raising teenagers that I'm going to read later.
Yeah. If you're a pro on teens, let us know. We'll be coming to you.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. But I think that when you're balancing, you can be a friend as you can. Your hat doesn't, you don't have to wear like one hat all the time. You could change the hat. And then just like, if it's in the moment of playtime, you can be playful with the kid. Mm-hmm. That's where you could be the friend. But then you're like, but mom can be a friend. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, you can be a fun mom.
Yeah. It shouldn't be one way or the other. It's just balancing it.
And well, she asked, how do I balance it?
Well, then. No, I really liked your advice on, you know, you want like the friendship probably more so comes later.
Yeah. Right. When like they're more of an adult.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the next question. Which one do you want to answer next?
How about how long did it take for you to bond with your baby?
That's a good one because it's like, what does it mean to bond?
Yeah.
How long did it take you?
It wasn't instant.
Right.
I think there was different levels of bonding.
Yes. It's funny also you can see it differently than like kind of feel in it. Like I could see it with Rusty differently than me like feeling the transition of like what it felt, because I feel like he's bonded with her more now
that definitely
she's like can move around, can show a little more emotion, it's more of like a two-way thing.
I agree. From a dad's perspective, I think Noah's the same way. Like it definitely took until they could like interact. But like even for like me, I remember with Oliver thinking it was weird because like I never heard any conversation around it that like bonding isn't necessarily instantaneous. I know that with both my kids, I loved them and I didn't want anything to happen to them and I wanted to take care of them. But I wasn't like obsessed, I guess, is like the way to put it. And then I think as time kept going, and I think even like to the point of like where they could interact and like I think like I feel the strongest about, not talking about Oliver because it's completely different. Like Jack's still in the baby's phase. I think that like even now, like I feel like my strongest bond with him, with Jack, has happened like 6 months or like even like now might be like the strongest. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. And maybe it'll get stronger too. Like,
yeah,
like you can't compare. I felt like it's like just like a different bond. Like in the beginning, I think there's a bond and I felt like very strongly, but it's like once you get to know the a person more,
yeah,
it's hard to get to know a baby who's not really like a full person. It's just like a little blob,
right?
So I think it makes sense. It's like a different type of bond. But I think that like if you're asking this and you're concerned that maybe like you're not bonding, I would decrease your expectations. And just kind of like, you know, feel what you're feeling rather than, you know, wait for fireworks, because it's not like fireworky. It's just like little moments of emotion that come randomly. I think that would be like, and then those add up to like a bond, right? Yeah.
I agree with that. And I feel like I had a similar experience. I'm sure everybody's experience is really different. Somebody might completely disagree with us and be like, no, I felt it instantaneously or whatever. I also think if you think it's like an issue, then I would reach out to talk to somebody because maybe there's something else going on.
Yes. That's like one of those, that's like one, a sign of different kind of postpartum things. If like you feel like, if you feel like there's something wrong, then it's worth just to ask someone.
Yeah.
Who's an expert. It's not, doesn't, you know, like you're definitely not alone in that. And that can range. Like you can have baby blues or it could be just nothing. And it's just standard, you know, like there's no like all of us, there's no like, again, there's, it's not like with breastfeeding, it's like, there's no this like magical rainbow, like fireworks and you're like, wow, I'm bonded. And then like the key fits into the hole. Like it's nothing like something like that. It's just, it's like in my opinion or my perspective, it's like tiny little moments of emotion. And obviously like when you see your kid, you might feel this like, wow, this is my child. Like that's cool.
Yes.
Like that's a new feeling, but I wouldn't say it's like, oh, this child is my, it's not like Lion King, you know? You're like, Zemenya. Like I wouldn't say, but maybe some people might have that, you know, everybody's things vary differently. That's why I would say like reduce expectations, consider your expectations. Is this something that's some, do you feel something's wrong? Or is it just like, I think I expected this crazy thing to happen. Mm-hmm. And then just, if you feel something's wrong, I would talk to somebody. If you feel it's just like, wow, it's not as like dramatic as I thought it would be, just wait it out.
Right.
See what happens. All right, next question. Okay, how did you decide which diapers are best for your babies? That's funny. What did you do? How did you decide?
I feel like this is like what I do with like bottles and sippy cups. I just tried everything. Because like I really think that like you could like read reviews, but there really is no like one size fits all, and you need to like, there are things that you like better that like other people don't, vice versa, whatever. I was like a big Pampers Pure girl with Oliver.
Yeah, I'm a Pampers Pure.
Yeah, and it was like great. And with Jack, I am on an Honest subscription and those were great. And that was really it. I felt like when I was, I was also a big Huggies overnight for Oliver.
I was about to ask you about that. Uh-huh.
And then I was using them for Jack and they kept exploding overnight. No. Like the diaper was like opening up. And when I would like change him after, like in the morning, he would pee so much. So like they couldn't really like hold his pee. But I really, really loved them for Oliver. And I really, really loved the Coterie diapers when they were newborns because they were so soft. And they do hold a lot of pee, but like personally they were, I felt like there were other less expensive options that it like wasn't sustainable with how expensive they are.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about the overnight because like I also was unsure, like do I have a different diaper for overnight or is this like marketing? Because like the Pampers Pure is like it says holds 12 hours of pee. And it's so funny because I ran out of like swim diapers the other day and I still like put Mila in the pool with like the regular diaper and I just changed it right after.
Yeah.
But the amount that it holds.
I know.
It's I like, know. Holy shit. And oh, this is not sponsored, by the way. This sounds like so, this sounds like a, totally ad, but sponsored. It's not an ad. It's not an ad. But so I was like confused. Should I get an overnight? But it seemed to be fine. I tried a few different ones and she didn't seem to have too many blow ups in these. So I just stayed with them.
I mean, again, I think it's whatever works for you. I've used regular diapers overnight and they don't hold, his like sleep sack soaking wet. And like, I guess Jack just like pees a lot. I don't know, but I felt that way with Oliver too. I feel like I do need to use an overnight for them. But yeah, like I think every kid is different. And if like you've tried it and it doesn't really make a difference for you, then like it doesn't make a difference.
I always thought it was like the marketing. Like, you know how they discovered like day and night cream is like really it was one cream. And then they just like decided like, oh, let's get double the sales from one person.
Yeah, smart. Really smart. No, but I do feel like there's a difference. I mean, on the same level, is there a specific wipe that you like?
I like the water wipes a lot.
You still use water wipes?
Yes, there's no odor. Because I've like, because the hospital gave us a lot of samples of stuff. And I didn't like the Pampers wipes. They like have a smell.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the regular Pampers wipes.
I don't know. I've just always used the water since day one because it never irritated her.
Right.
And it just, and there was no smell. I like, yeah, I've just never, which ones do you use?
I use the Pampers, are they called Pampers? They're basically the Pampers equivalent to water wipes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So there, and I, on it, like with Oliver, I used the water wipes when he was like a newborn. And then I switched to these and I was always getting a subscription from Amazon and I just never switched. So I just like continued to use them with Jack and I don't have an issue.
I have never subscribed on anything on Amazon. Oh, wait, really? Because I don't. Because Amazon freaks me out sometimes. Because I buy, like I look at the diaper reviews on Amazon and it says like dupes and shit. And yes. So I like won't buy that. So I buy like my diapers from Target.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way. I'm very like weary on like what I subscribe to on Amazon. I think it, like I do it from their, it has to be like from the brand store.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it's but
even
fine.
Then, sometimes there's like
there's weird shit. I mean, yeah,
there's
like
weird shit on there's Amazon. Weird shit.
I do the Honest subscription through Honest, and I really like having a diaper subscription and a wipe subscription because I feel like it's one of those things where you like run out and you're like, oh fuck, I ran out.
You
of
need
diapers.
It tomorrow, yeah.
And then like they happen to come show up at your doorstep like right when you need them.
Smart. I really and should have done that.
Yeah, and you also like save a little bit. You get. A little bit of a discount when you subscribe.
Subscribe and save.
Subscribe and save.
I like
not
it.
Not sponsored, seriously.
Let us know if you guys are listening and you're like, I can't believe you didn't say X diaper. So send it to us because, you know, who knows, next kid. All right, last question. And this one's a loaded one and I don't know if we are equipped to answer it, but how to discuss one, but we'll read it anyway. How to, as the responsible podcasters that we are. okay. How to discuss wanting more kids when your partner doesn't and you're the default parent. You want more kids, you're the default parent, your partner doesn't. How do you broach the topic?
So I feel like I'm like kind of, did I write this in? no, I'm one of three. So I just always thought I would have three kids. And I like really like the idea of having three kids. Noah, on the other hand, does not. So I don't really – I would say like the way that like I think is a way to approach it because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a specialist. I have no idea. You can't like bombard them with it. And like make them feel attacked and like there's no way out. You need to like slowly bring it up and kind of be like, well, could we talk about this in a year? Like maybe you don't feel right about that happening today, but maybe we could talk about it in a year. So many things change in a year. And then, you know, if you get to that year mark and like nothing's changing, like maybe you need to go to like couples therapy together. And like actually talk, because that's like a really serious topic. Like,
yeah,
especially if it's like you might feel even more strongly about that if you're going from like one to two rather than like two to three. But like or whatever, I don't know. Like I think if it's an actual issue, you need to seek professional help and like have somebody mediate that conversation. But I wouldn't like throw it all on somebody and be like, it's this way or the highway. You need to like hear them out, understand why they feel that way. And so they give you space to hear you out and understand why you feel that way.
I agree. Yeah, I think that makes sense. And her saying like she's the default parent, like I get the thought behind that, like the drive behind saying like it doesn't affect him as much because I'm the one who's going to be taking care of them anyway. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it does affect him because it's half his child.
Yeah.
So like I get that it feels unfair. But like it's still, that's part of his child and anything can happen in the future. And that's another person you're bringing into this world who's just because you're the one taking care of him now, anything could happen. So like that kid is you've brought them into the world. So it's a big deal. It's not just like whose like duty it is to take care. I mean, yeah. Yes, that part is really important because it's like you'll already have figured out like what whose roles and responsibilities would this fall under. But I agree, it's a really hard conversation because it's so serious. Like you can't take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also it's helpful to like get an because couples therapy is important because you can, if it's something you really want and they don't want it, like that could be a point of like contention in your relationship that could cause resentment. So I think it would be helpful for if you're the one who wants the kid or if you're the one who doesn't want the kid and you're a listener to understand the other person's point of view and like to hear them out. Like,
yeah,
why? Like, why do you want this kid or why do you not want the kid? And if that person doesn't have a good answer or good enough for you, be like, ask them, be like, do you mind like giving me a little bit more? Like, can you go back and sit with this and think about what it is? What's the real reason you feel like it's not for you or it is for you? Like, can you come back and really share with me as much as you can? Because that would help me understand your side rather than I just do, you know? Like, I feel like some people don't know why they want a kid or why they feel it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because that might also make you think about it in a different way when you sit and think, what's the reason? What's life going to be like? This is a big change.
Right. It's your partner. You need to understand both sides. But we have Dr. Naomi coming on who does the Oversharing podcast with Jordana. Yes, and yes. I think this is like a really great topic to bring up.
Great topic. Yeah. It's like marriage, like real decisions, things that happen. Yeah. These are real serious topics that like, you know, arise from the topic of children that like may have not ever arised if you were never to have kids. Like in your relationship, right. Your relationship would be totally different. Right. And this is not something you could have like possibly planned for when dating or agreeing to get married, you know, unless you're just like laid it all out there like, this is the amount of children I want, but people could change their mind. So
definitely. It's
definitely a hot topic that we can talk about. Hot topic with hot Dr. Topic. Naomi. We have a Dear Betches Moms today for you guys.
Yes.
It's not a momster. It's a Betches Mom. So shall we read it?
Let's hear it.
Hi, Brittany and Aileen. First off, thank you. I started listening last fall when pregnant, and you guys have truly been one of my favorite podcasts. Thank you. My question is, how? ! How do you do all this? ! I recently went back to work after my baby turned 5 months, and every day I feel like I am drowning. Maternity leave was truly one of the happiest times of my life, but I don't necessarily want to be a stay-at-home mom. Nor do I want to go down to a one-income household. But now being a full-time employee and a mom has me hardcore frazzled. Every day feels like a marathon between all the things I have to do early in the morning, commuting, working all day, then trying to squeeze in quality time with my son before bedtime, then all the nightly chores, then trying to spend a little time with my husband, then collapsing into bed, only to get up a few hours later for middle-of-the-night feed. Any tips/tricks or even just solidarity? Does this get better? ! Sincerely, a defeated bitch.
Girl. I have like such like.
I know.
Like my stomach hard is relate. Like turning hearing this because.
Hard relate.
I feel that.
Yeah. It's early too.
Yeah, it's early.
To be honest, it's one of those things where once you kind of find your stride, like in the beginning, it's really hard. It's so new. Don't. Again, like you have to lower just the expectations and prioritize as much as you can. And just know that it gets better in the sense that like you get used to it and you also prioritize better and you choose things that are important to you. It becomes easier, those decisions, mm-hmm. A little bit easier. It doesn't become easy. It just becomes a little bit easier. And you kind of get into like a stride. You get into a pattern. And that's what it is for it, that period. And then it changes. The kid goes to school and it's different. And the kid might have different needs, and that might change also your life. So like, do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I think that it does get easier in the sense where you get used to it. Mm-hmm. I think that it's really difficult, the mental struggle of like being pulled in different directions of like what you want. And I don't know if that like fully goes away. I just think you kind of like figure out what works best for you. Like Aileen was saying, you just figure it out. You learn how to navigate it. You know, some days are harder than others. You're really truly in the beginning of this, and it becomes more routine and it does get easier. And they stop waking up in the middle of the night at some point. So
right.
That helps.
Yeah. Once you get your sleep back, it feels less intense. Like when you're not sleeping, you feel like the world is crashing on you and you're like, I can't do everything. And on top of that, I need to sleep. So I think that that part is a little bit helpful, and it's like a key part of the equation, because then you're like, oh, I can think clearly and I can decide, or I can like, you know, compartmentalize and like be really present for work. I can get some pictures of my kid while, and then like spend time with them for the amount of time or, you know, you can ask if you have flexible hours at work, you can maybe fit in an extra hour, but like your child's going to end up going to school. As long as you're not like homeschooling and whatever, they're going to end up going to school. And if you're not going to, if you don't want to be a stay-at-home mom, I think that's like a great clue, like thing to like, you know, like focus on. Like you do know what you want. So like you know that you don't want to be a stay-at-home mom. So, okay, so what does that mean? Like you want a career, and that's something that is important to you. It may not feel important right now because of the newness of the situation, which is totally under, and that'll go in waves. So I just know that it gets easier, and it gets easier, and like things, because things shift.
Definitely. And you might, and you along the way will make decisions that work for your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That could help this, like whether, you know, daycare or not, or whatever it is, you know, things really do fall into place the way they should.
And like, I really would do everything in your power not to compare yourself to any, and I know like you didn't say that, but sometimes it like falls when you say how do you do all of this? I feel like that's sometimes might stem in like, does everyone do it? Or how do these girls that I see on Instagram do it, who I'm like seeing on my feed? Like, don't compare. I know that's easier said than done, but like no one actually posts like a full 360 of like all of their emotions that they may or may not be processing or like doing. So it's like, that's not helpful either. Just know that like, while we say like people don't really talk about it, I mean, people talk about being a working mom, the challenges of being a working mom forever. Like, so it's not, this isn't a new subject matter.
Right.
It's challenging classically.
And everybody's always trying to figure out what works best. Like there's no one size fits all in this. I feel like I said this a couple of times this podcast, but like truly like there isn't. It's really just what works for you and like figuring it out. And like you do have a lot of different thoughts in a day, and you're getting used to being a mom. Like you'll get there. It gets easier, and find the support you need in your friends, in your family, and talk about it. That helps too.
Yeah. And good childcare.
And good childcare.
As a working mom. All right, Brittany, I feel like that was a good show. What do you think?
That was a good show. I mean, you know, I always feel like I walk away from a therapy session here.
I'm glad. Well, that is it for today's episode of the Betches Moms podcast. Guys, leave us a review. We love you so much. And follow us at Betches Moms. We're doing a lot more stuff with the audience on our Instagram and just lots of stuff coming your way on social. So at Betches Moms, follow us. You can follow me at Aileen. You can follow Brittany at @It's_Brittany. @It's_Lev. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com. Betches.